The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Have fun with your important conversations and your big issues with your brains and your smart stuff, okay? We got hockey to learn.
Dr. Hockey.
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. I'm Dr. Jay Calvert, and I am on today with Dr. Jason Berkley for a Christmas Eve edition of the Dr. Hockey Podcast. Jason, what's up?
It's a Christmas miracle.
That is true. What?
It's a miracle I'm not taking a nap right now.
Well, that is, you should take a nap because it's Christmas Eve. And I think the whole Los Angeles has quieted down at this point.
I wish the traffic was like this all year round. It would be so much more tolerable to live here.
Yeah, I know. It's, you know, it's true. Like during the week, you just wonder like why you have to fight to get anywhere during the hours of 8:30 in the morning till 5 p.m. or 6 p.m.
Anytime, even on the weekend, you're saying to yourself, it's 10 a.m. and the freeway's packed. Where are all these people going? Then they're looking at me saying, where's this guy going? So I guess it's all a mutual thing, but, you know, it's terrible on a daily basis. There's too many people here.
Well, one of my former professors used to say there are too many rats in the box, and I think that may be the case with Los Angeles.
I would agree.
Well, we have some hockey to talk about because since this is our Christmas Eve edition, it'll be coming out on Christmas Day, and there's no hockey today, tomorrow, or on Boxing Day, the day after Christmas.
Correct.
So that means that things are kind of locked in where they are. I think the teams get a chance to kind of reconnoiter. And I don't know if they're doing any reconnoitering, but they've played about 35, 36, or 37 games at this point.
Right.
And the standings have fluctuated a fair amount, even since that crucial Thanksgiving mark. Some things haven't changed much, but we should probably just rapidly go around the conferences and look at where things are. Does that sound reasonable to you?
Everything you say is reasonable, Jay.
And on that note, I will also ask you to update us on our fantasy league at the end, because we do have I know that you weren't doing so well now that you're in third place.
I've been on a tear. Are we doing this now, or do you want me to wait on this?
No, we can go through it later. But I think The fact that you're up in third place now is high excitement for everybody.
Well, I think maybe between me and Arash, we may be the only two people actually paying attention to it. But I'll go through the update on that in a little bit. And there's some people that are doing pretty well and on the rise, and some other people that are not doing so well, and other people who haven't won yet. So, well, actually, one person who hasn't won yet, but we'll talk about that in a few minutes.
All right. Well, let's start in the East, since we're sort of West Coast based.
Well, you are.
I am, because I live here, and by the way, so do you. So I know that you.
Well, yeah, but it's not for as far as my team is, and your team is on the East Coast. So
no, my team is definitely an East Coast team. So let's start there. And in fact, we can start with, I believe you and I have a little wager on the Pittsburgh Penguins making the playoffs.
We do. And right now they are doing pretty well. They're sitting in third place in the Metropolitan. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. I agree. But the fact that they still have no defense, although they did make a trade, and this trade I think was a good trade for both teams. The trade of Daniel Sprong from the Penguins to the Ducks, and they got Marcus Pettersson, from the Ducks, who is a really solid defenseman and is very young. So he's
Anaheim has a ton of defensemen, so I don't think it was a big loss for them.
No, but he was a great defenseman.
Really
on the rise.
Sure.
Yeah, so they do. Of course, Anaheim needs offense and the Pens need defense. This was a good match, and I think both teams are probably very happy with that trade.
Yep.
In the Eastern Conference, Jackets in second place, Washington in first place. Is Ovi trying to do a repeat here? I think the Caps look like they've got it.
Well, I mean, you know, it's still early on. I mean, Ovechkin has what, like 39 goals, something like crazy like that at this point. Yeah. So, you know, had they gone back to their old ways of listen, this is a different team with a different coach, and you know, I'd be surprised if they're able to sustain it the rest of the season and through the playoffs. But listen, you can't count out teams like the Islanders. Or the Blue Jackets in that division. I mean, it's pretty close. I mean, if you look at the amount of points, you're talking about Washington's in first with 47, Columbus is in second with 45, Pittsburgh's in 42, and the Islanders at 40. I mean, so it's not, you know, a three game win streak here and there. It's anybody's you know, division, and the playoffs can change like that. So it's pretty. It's nothing's a done deal.
Well, and the Metro Division is always tough. So these teams wind up really cutting each other up, especially as you get towards the trade deadline. There's going to be, you know, we've got this break now, and then we have the All-Star break coming up in January. But I think this is this division is rough, and I think that's why it's amazing that, you know, last year the Caps got through all that and then went on to win the Cup. It was huge. So I think they've got a good shot. But I also
did you see Carolina suited up in their old Hartford Whaler jerseys?
I did. That was awesome.
It was really cool.
And they won. They beat Boston, which, you know, we love. I don't know. I just enjoy watching them lose. I don't know why, but for me, there's something about Boston that, to me, you know, no offense to my Boston fans, but you know, after the Marchand thing last year, and by the way, he continues to play so dirty. I really think that you know, you reap what you sow in that league, and Marchand is just he's such a low point for as good a player as he is. The lack of class that this guy has, you know, in playing in that league and understanding what he represents, it's kind of awful.
Yeah, I don't disagree, and you know, I know your brother's going to be disappointed. We're not going to talk about Boston today again in detail, but. I'm still recovering from that shellacking he gave us last week.
Well, that was he was pissed.
He was. I mean, it's you know, I don't have any explanation for it. I didn't think that we offended him that much, but okay.
Episode downloaded hard. I think people really enjoyed.
What was that?
That was a hugely downloaded episode.
Oh, good.
I think people really liked listening to us get beat up by my brother.
Yep. Getting raked over the coals is always good for any entertainment. But, you know, it's one of those situations where I think when you're right, in this kind of league, when you put that out there like that, you know, it's going to come back to you at some point. And, you know, like a lot of players say, they have, you know, hockey players have real long memories. You know, it may not be in the next game you face them or the game after that, but at some point it's going to come back. And I think he has a lot added up there that's coming his way.
Well, and that's Boston. The thing is he's not a spring chicken anymore. This guy is getting older, and you know, somebody along the way will take their piece out on this guy. But
look at one thing though. Look at the difference between the Atlantic Division and the Metropolitan Division. Okay, you have your Metropolitan Division league leaders have 47, Washington 47 points, Columbus 45, and Pittsburgh 42. We just talked about. Look at the Atlantic. I mean, Tampa Bay's 58 points, Toronto's 52, and Buffalo's 47, followed by Boston at 44. I mean, if you flip those teams around, you know, the top metropolitan team doesn't even barely makes it to third place in the Atlantic. I mean, it's not even a contest. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if anyone's from the metropolitan divisions are going to have a chance coming into this playoffs as they approach in 4 months. I'd be surprised if anybody from the Metropolitan Division makes it out of there after the first round.
Well, I mean, that is a good point. But just because teams have a lot of points doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to, you know, just steamroll everybody. I agree. I picked Tampa Bay to win the cup. I think this is.
I know it doesn't mean anything. Listen, again, in the President's Trophy, how many times has that happened where teams have won the President's Trophy and, you know, bailed out in the first or second round? That's happened quite a bit. I guess what I'm just saying is if you look at the trend, though, and again, I'm a big believer in goal differential. And even though that Washington's at 26, it drops off pretty rapidly from Columbus to Pittsburgh at that point. But, I mean, Tampa Bay plus 48, Toronto's at plus 37. I mean, this is something that's indicative. It's like, I'll do a medical reference here. It's like looking at the hemoglobin A1C for someone's blood sugar. I mean, it doesn't tell you their record, how many points, but it certainly tells you the long-term trend of how something's occurring. And I think that's a bigger telltale sign of where things are headed for a team.
Well, yeah, I mean, these goal differentials are insane with Tampa Bay and Toronto. They are
– yeah.
They're killing it.
But it tells you the story. And again, there are exceptions to the rule. There have been times where teams have had a slight minus that are in playoff contention. And we'll talk about that in a couple minutes. But, you know, otherwise, it's pretty much along the lines that the leaders of each division are a minimum of at least a plus 20, you know, plus 22, plus 23 goal differential. So you got to have that if you're gonna do anything in this league. And there are just teams that are just straddling the line there that just are not cutting it.
Well, I think one thing that you can look at for sure is the teams that are going to be sort of hovering around the wild card spot on both sides, you know, both the East and the West. And it's clear that the teams that are in the East, your Atlantic Division teams have a clear advantage for the wild card spots over the Metropolitans because they have so many more points, so many more the goal differentials are better. So I mean, thinking about is there going to be wild card teams that are from the from the Metro Division? You know, maybe, but. You know, I think if the Islanders want to make the playoffs, they got to get a spot because the odds are that it's going to be whoever it is in the Metro 1, 2, and 3, and then it's going to be the Atlantic Division, and then two wild card teams from Boston and Montreal or whatever, or even Detroit if they play their cards right.
It's not going to happen. It's okay. Don't play game. It's I'm a realist. It's okay.
It is not looking good for – there's a few teams it's not looking good for. It's not looking good for Philly, the Devils, Detroit, and Ottawa, I think are all – and Florida, really, I think are all sort of lost at this point.
Yeah, I think it's a done deal. Stick a fork in them. It's okay. But you look at those teams and in the bottom of those divisions, you know, which teams are trending upward at least – or at least making strides to improving. I think you could probably say Philadelphia's – floundering. New Jersey, I don't know what happened to them. They started off pretty well this season. Florida's still Florida, and Ottawa's Ottawa. You can't recover from losing one of the best defensemen in the league, which, by the way, did you see that Carlson hit?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely did.
So real quick, I want to go off on a little bit of a tangent here. If you look at the play and you listen to the description on the NHL website of the player safety, this is one of the problems I have with the way the league is being governed and is being managed, that you have a guy who they even say repeatedly targets the head, targets the head, targets the head. They said that I think it was Austin Wagner from the Kings. They said Wagner's position, his head position, his body position didn't change at all after he received the puck. That it wasn't a matter of Carlson hit him a certain way and then, oh, the guy went down or went up or whatever. And it was clearly, you saw his arm came up. Something like this where it's a blatant, blatant targeting of the head. I don't care who the player is in the league, best player or whatever else. You can't do a two-game suspension. That requires a minimum of 5 to 10 games. If you're really, truly serious about getting that, what's two games to this guy? It's nothing. He has it in his front right pocket. Here you go. Here you go, Mr. Batman. There you go. Here's, oh, you know what? I don't need cash on me. Here's a check. Eh, it's out of my petty cash fund. It's no big deal. You know, so if you want to send a message, enough with this first time offense, this thing, it wasn't that bad, or guy wasn't knocked out, or he wasn't injured. Again, it is the dumbest level of standard you're going to find in anything around. I'm sorry. The degree of injury to the player, this should not dictate the punishment. It's just so, it's such a warped view of a perspective of a way of logic and twisted way of looking at things that I'm glad we don't do that in our judicial system, because we would have criminals running around left and right for a first time offense.
Absolutely. Because it's about the magnitude. See, they don't do it by, well, this is the rule, this is the punishment. They do it like, well, you know, he really didn't get that hit, hurt. So, you know, let's just, right. You know, it's ridiculous.
And I'll use my bank robbing analogy again. Oh, he went into the bank, held up 15 people. He only got out with $5. All right, you know what? Let's let him off. 2 days in jail and that's it.
Yeah, because he didn't do so well on that robbery.
Yeah, come on. You know, a hit to the head is a hit to the head. And you don't know what – and the thing is, you don't know the issues that Austin Wagner is going to have today on, you know, December 24th or of 2018 or January 1st, 2019. Is it something that can manifest 6 months or a year or whatever down the road if he has another one or two of those from a player that gets one or two games? But if Carlson knows I'm going to get 10 games or 20 games if it's a second offense or whatever, if I hit this guy like this, I better pull up a bit.
Yeah, well
– you know. That's not there. That incentive to do that is not there.
You know, but by the way, you know, I hate to, you know, you and I are two physicians sitting here talking about this, but they're not asking anybody over there, like, what could be the problem with a hit like that? You know, they don't have a board certified trained neurologist such as yourself answering right. That question. So there, it's a bunch.
Well, if they do, but here's the thing, Jay, if they do, in all likelihood, it's going to be somebody for the league that's going to say, well, it's not going to cause much long-term damage and kind of be there on to give their perspective in a sense.
Of course.
But to protect their interests. But that's like the guy from years ago that got up there and said that lead gasoline didn't cause, you know, birth defects and health problems with us. It's the same kind of BS you see with a lot of organizations. And I'm sorry, but the NHL has to stand up if they're truly, truly interested in getting rid of these types of hits. That where you have a player that's defenseless, that takes a shot to the head from a moving vehicle, then 2 games for a quote first offense or whatever it is, it isn't going to cut it. That's just not going to do.
No, and you know the thing is you're right. By the way, do you hear my chihuahua barking in the background?
Yeah, I thought they want a steak.
Hey, Cheech. Cheech.
Doesn't Blue owe the dog a steak? Isn't that what happened? Or is
owed a steak, that's for sure.
Yes.
So anyway, yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think that the fact you can't have inside guys deciding whether or not the injury is significant.
And then you go on social media and people are like, oh, don't be a pussy. This is hockey. Oh, what do you want? Is it just like, you know, a tango? Is this dancing? No. That's, again, those are idiots that don't know anything about the human brain and the sport itself. Those are people that are ignorant, and you can't listen to people like that. You need to make an educated, proper decision about this type of injury and understand the ramifications of not just what happens overnight, but it happens long term. And I'm sorry, but it's never going to change when you're doing that type of silly type of a penalty of 2-game suspension for a guy like that. He's a talented player. He's better than that. He should know better. That's it. I'll get off my soapbox at this moment.
Well, but we need guys like you on the soapbox because...
All right, I'm back on it. That's it. I'm back on.
All right, good. Because you're a knowledgeable dude. Like, this is your thing. You are somebody that can answer this question.
I mean, it's... I'm not going to bore the audience with the medical stuff, but again, I touched on this before. When you hit someone's head like that, when they're going one direction and you're coming at them from another direction, the amount of force that's exhibited on the brain, and the brain itself has two different densities inside of it. There's the brain, gray matter and white matter, and I'm not going to bore you with the difference, but they have two different densities. And what happens is in those types of hits, those densities, you know, those different types of the tissue move at different velocities. So you get what's called shearing forces, where one will shear against the other because it's not moving as fast. And that's what causes what's called diffuse axonal injury, which is the word for, if you will, on a long-term basis, CTE, continuous trauma encephalopathy. Encephalopathy means any type of injury or dysfunction of the brain. And so it's that repeated shearing force that one time alone could cause problems, but repeatedly is what causes these brain cells to become damaged.
Well, and that's the thing is that, you know, again, nobody in the NHL is going to stand up and say that was, you know, that hit is going to cause long-term damage or whatever. That's just not, that's not going to be part of the discussion. They want to move the game along. They want to get people, you know, back into it. Especially a guy like Carlson, they want him in the game. You know, they don't want him, you know, sitting on the sidelines. That's not not helpful to anybody.
Then that's the thing. Then the NHL has to make a decision. Do you want guys getting hurt, having long-term brain damage, and not being protected? Or do you want the game to move along and have your star players out there and business as usual? And I think that's the decision they have to make. And, you know, they can say all they want about we're protecting this or protecting that, but clearly if you're giving a guy for a hit like that 2 games, you're not. You're just not. You're not having the player's best interests in mind. And I'm sorry. That's wrong.
Well, we are not going to solve the policy issues for the NHL today.
Oh,
but what we should do is move over to the Western Conference. And
sure,
we should take my brother's advice and talk about Calgary, because this team has 47 points and a plus 24 goal differential.
Yep.
And has played 37 games. So they are in a solid first place in the Pacific Division. I think they're, what, second or third overall in the Western Conference. But Calgary is...
Yeah, Winnipeg's kind of running away with the West. But, I mean, listen, I think there's a surprise team of the season, at least in my opinion right now. This is not something that I don't think many people expect. I think people were kind of having the debate about, you know, with San Jose's acquisitions there and Vegas, the way they played, it's going to come down to San Jose and Vegas. But I don't think Calgary is even factored into the Pacific Division. You know, they have some really good players and some really exciting young guys on the team. And listen, Calgary's a nice city. It's a good city. I'm happy for the players there and the team and the fans. But look at the players they have. Look at some of these guys they have on their team. They have Gaudreau, okay. James Neal, you know, your best friend James Neal went there after.
James Neal's one of my favorite players in the league. I think that's why they are doing so well.
Yeah, so again, he seems to have the Midas touch. Matt Tkachuk. I mean, these are guys that, you know, young guys that are going to be able to be there for a long time. You know, I'm pretty impressed by their play. Giordano, one of the top defensemen in the league, you know, and Mike Smith is the goalie there from Arizona, correct?
Mike Smith. You think he's from Arizona?
No, he played for Arizona. He was playing for
I don't know where he was
the guy in Arizona for a while, Phoenix, and you know, Tampa Bay for a little while, then Arizona, then he came over to Calgary.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have some good veterans in there mixed with some young guys, and it's they're doing something right.
Well, I think I do believe that they were getting there. They were coming along, and they added James Neal, and James Neal I know he was the leader of the Golden Knights last year. Oh, Fleury was the leader. You know, Fleury's the goalie, and Fleury is a great netminder, and he's a Stanley Cup winner, but I don't think he led the Vegas Golden Knights. If you asked the people in the locker room, obviously you'd know, but my feeling is that James Neal probably was the heart and soul leader of that team, and now he's in Calgary, and he brings all that experience, and you know, that guy wants a cup. he's due, and he definitely is. I think that team's definitely on the rise, and they're going to be in the playoffs for sure.
Sure.
So they're doing great. San Jose in Pacific also living up to the promise of all those. That's like a veritable all-star team over there. I mean, look at who they have, and their young players are you know, Logan Couture and Carlson and Brent Burns and, you know, Jones is playing well in nets, and they've got Jumbo Joe Thornton and this Timo Meier, who last year I just thought he was going to be dangerous as hell. He is dangerous as hell this year.
Mm-hmm.
And Vlasic, and like their team is stacked to the gills. It's just packed with like amazing talent. So they could be a contender.
Two other teams that are also stacked: Edmonton, they're kind of waddling, is in fifth place in the Pacific, but also Dallas. The Dallas Stars are a team that's very unassuming. People don't really talk about them that often. I know we don't talk about them that often, but they really have a very, very solid lineup. I mean, they have, you know, Jamie Benn, Blake Como. These guys, Martin Hansel used to play on Arizona as well. It seems like a lot of these guys from Arizona, you know, went elsewhere. But, you know, Tyler Seguin, I mean, these are guys. Jason Spezza was the, you know, the man in Ottawa for years.
Yeah.
You know, and look at their goalie, Ben Bishop. You know, he was, you know, the only reason that Tampa Bay couldn't keep him was because of the cap.
I know. And he's a great, great netminder.
And it's just kind of one of those surprising things why you say to yourself, a team that has talent the way that the Dallas Stars do can't get it together and produce more to kind of really be up there with more of the elite teams.
Well, they can. You know? They can. I think Dallas, I watched them play over in Anaheim recently, and they did really well. They look great. Jamie Benn is a super powerful forward. He's just like, he's strong as they come.
Yeah, he out-muscles these guys on a nightly basis.
He is just tough as could be. Just, you can't get position on the guy. I don't know why he doesn't have, you know, 40 goals or whatever a season. He should. And right. Same with Sagan. I mean, these are talented guys, but, you know, we'll see.
Well, I think regardless, I think in the Western Conference, the whoever's going to come out of this is going to come out of the Central Division. I mean, you're looking at three teams: Winnipeg, Nashville, and Colorado. And Colorado, obviously, I think is the more surprised team of those three in the division this year. But boy, I mean, Winnipeg and Nashville are two just juggernauts. That you know, the fact that they're in the same division and it's going to be one of these two teams representing the West in the finals is really kind of a shame, because either one of these teams are cup worthy.
Well, I mean, Winnipeg. I mean, this team is so tough. I mean, they have goal scorers galore. They've got defense, you know.
But here's the thing, though. The one thing that Winnipeg has for them that Nashville doesn't now is the window is closing on Nashville.
Yes.
They have two, maybe three more max years at this level before they're going to lose Rene, and they're going to really kind of have to almost reload, so to speak. And you know how hard that is to do in the cap era. That teams like Colorado that are surging, that are now up there, I think are going to supplant them. I mean, you know, maybe Dallas can get their act together, but I mean, the window's closing for Nashville. They've been in the show a couple times as far as being in the spotlight, but they're just not. I don't know why they can't just close the window.
I don't know either. That's a really good question. Is it because they don't have a superstar that, you know, everyone around the country can name and say, "Oh man,
we've talked about that." That's a big issue. We've talked about that.
Yeah,
that you got to have that uber elite player on the team to really push them over the edge, to be the guy that everyone looks to. And I mean, do they have a guy like that on the team?
No, they don't. And that's the problem. You know, Roman Josi is a great captain and an amazing defenseman.
I mean, Forsberg, I mean, you know, is he the guy? Gaudreau? Some of these guys on the team are great players. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking anything away from them.
But nobody knows Colton Sissons. Nobody knows, you know, Austin Watson, other than for his suspension for beating up his girlfriend. Like,
PK Subban's probably the best known player if you ask around, you know, people that either watch the NHL in a casual or more religious fashion, other than, you know, obviously Rene. But, you know, who's the real guy on Nashville that comes to mind? It's going to be it's going to be PK. But you know, guys like Kyle Turris, I mean, Jarnkroc, you know, remember, Jarnkroc still to this day should be a Red Wing. You know, but I'm not going to go into that again. But, you know.
Kyle Turris. Turris was the one that was in that Duchesne trade, right? He came from.
Right.
They got Turris from the Senators.
Yes.
Right? Because exactly. It was Kyle Turris. And yeah, so Turris, I think, is an amazing player. But again, you and I know his name because we think, you know, he's got a lot of, you know, talent and ability and scores a lot of goals. But he's not that franchise named player. And I think that, you know, you and I both agree that somebody has to be that player. You know, if you go down these teams, you know, and look at who's playing where. Teams that are going to win the cup have that player. The cup does not get won by a team that's, you know, oh, who's playing for them? No, that's not who's going to win.
See, if they had someone like a Line A, I think it's a little different. I think it becomes a totally different team. So that's why I think Winnipeg is going to come out of that division as number one seed is going to be the last team standing from the Central and probably from the West.
Right, and Line A has a supporting cast of known players like Dustin Byfuglien. You know, that's the key. You need to have, I mean, I'm not, you know, not to disparage the fame of the Nashville players.
Of course not. Not at all. But I think if you asked any of those guys, they would admit none of those guys are on the level of a McDavid. None of them are on the level of a Crosby or a Malkin or a someone like that to that degree that kind of like, you know, the even very, very casual fan, oh, I've heard of that guy. And that's just not the case.
Right. People have heard of Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand. They've heard of you know, Stamkos.
Which, by the way, somebody dropped Bergeron when he was injured in our fantasy league. I picked him up and he was on my IR and he came back and scored 2 goals and 2 assists in the first game back. So I don't remember who dropped him, but thank you for whoever did.
There you go, man. See?
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the thing is like these teams who have those named guys, you know, they have a chance at winning the cup. I mean, I think.
I defy you to name a team in the last 10 years that's won the cup that doesn't have a guy like that, that's on that caliber.
They all do. They all do. They have Patrick Kane. They've got Jonathan Toews.
Right. Some have more than one. You're right. But at least one. And, you know, right now the Wings are developing that with a guy like Larkin. And I think he'll be there. But, I mean, again, you're looking at the top-tier teams, they all have one. And the teams that are cup contenders legitimately, and look at Tampa Bay, I think they're stacked with probably at least more than one of those guys.
Buffalo's got, you know, Jack Eichel. Everybody's been waiting for this. Yeah. This kid is so young. And, like, this Buffalo team now is just, you know, just to jump over, you know, back onto the Atlantic Conference a little bit. You know, the Jack Eichel in Buffalo, like, I mean, amazing. It's crazy. And just to your point in the Central Division, I mean, I think you're right. You've got Winnipeg, Nashville, and Colorado. In Colorado, you know, Gabriel Landeskog, I think, is on track to score like 60 goals this season.
Right.
I mean, this guy's been like slugging it out in Colorado. He's a great player. And now it looks like with, you know, Nathan, you know, MacKinnon and with their defense is just, you know, solid. They have what it takes to go deeper into the playoffs. I don't know that they're a cup team, but they are definitely looking at, you know, a significant run in the playoffs. I still think Winnipeg and San Jose are formidable opponents, and the Golden Knights, quite honestly, who are now in playoff contention. They've got Paul Stastny back. They've got Nate Schmidt. They've got Subban playing nets when Fleury can't.
Yeah, agree. I mean, I think it's going to come down to, again, the top four teams we've talked about all season. It's going to be Winnipeg, Nashville. It's going to be from the East or from the West. And East is going to be Toronto, probably Tampa Bay, and I would probably throw maybe a Washington as my wild card of those three teams, maybe even possibly a surprise by a Buffalo. But beyond that, it's going to come down to those four teams, and you're going to get your cup winner from that. So I say skip everything. Skip the rest of the season. Just have those top six teams play for playoffs right now and end the season early.
I think that's definitely an idea that most of the other teams would not want to subscribe to. But and by the way, the Winter Classic is coming up on New Year's Day.
Yes.
Boston and Chicago. I think yes. That'll be a good game. I think there'll be.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, I was reading online about something. You know, I'll be honest with you. I agree. Enough with Chicago. Chicago's played in enough outdoor games. Let's get some other people in there, other teams, other cities that maybe would be more deserving, especially because considering their team is in basically dead last in the West, which, of course, I'm relishing every moment of it. But, you know, let's get some other teams in there that maybe, you know, haven't been able to play on the national stage like that and, you know, be able to show their thing.
Well, the New Year's Day game is a special game. I mean, I love the Winter Classic.
I mean, they have the Heritage Classic in Canada, but I would love to see nothing more than see Edmonton and Connor McDavid get out there and play. By the way, I got to tell you what I just found. I forgot that I bought this. I bought a set online of Connor McDavid rookie cards. They're in order, 25 of them. And the only reason I opened the box was because it said one of them, maybe one lucky, or it was a few of them that would be signed. And none of mine were signed, unfortunately, but I would have known had I not opened it. But I also have a box of the top rookies from that year. And so I have not opened that box. So maybe who knows if someday that'll be valuable. We'll see.
I think a Connor McDavid card right now is very valuable. That's a piece of history. I mean, this is one of the greatest players to play in the NHL. And I think Connor McDavid, his time has yet to come. I'm going to still stand by Jesse Cohen and his supposition that the fans have a class action lawsuit against the NHL for wrecking the first quarter of his career.
So, I agree.
I mean, it's just been awful that he's had.
Well, let me ask you a question. What other two teams would you like to see, or maybe that haven't played in the Winter Classic, to be out there?
Well, I mean, the Winter.
I'm having trouble remembering all the teams that have been in one or not, but. I don't think Tampa Bay's been in one. Correct me if I'm wrong. I may be completely wrong on this.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you all the Winter Classics, and for some reason, I think Tampa Bay has been in one. But
it shouldn't even be a U.S. team necessarily. I'd love to see nothing more than Montreal and Toronto duke it out in a Winter Classic. Forget the Heritage Classic. Forget everything else. You know, I want to see Montreal. You know, the Habs jersey out there. You know, flying around with the blue and white maple leaf, that should be, in my opinion, a Winter Classic. You know, enough with this nonsense with Chicago every single year. Enough's enough. They're a horrible team. Nobody wants to see them. I'd rather see the Islanders out there. I'd rather see, you know, other teams that aren't really well known to the general public. Buffalo. I mean, why not put Buffalo out there? I mean, I don't know. Well,
Buffalo had their shot last year. If you remember, the Winter Classic last year on New Year's Day was Buffalo and the Rangers.
Put them back out there then again. I don't care. Forget Chicago at this point. Chicago's an afterthought.
Well, I agree. I think it should be an original six team. Like, I'd love to see Toronto and the Habs. I'd love to see Detroit and the Rangers.
Detroit's also, listen, we've also had our share of Winter Classics. I'm okay, especially with how bad we are right now. We can. There'll be enough time to do Winter Classics and outdoor games for us at some point. Let's get some other teams in there that we haven't seen their special jerseys for. I'd even see Vegas. I'd even love to see Vegas out there. You know, even though we saw enough of them, and you know, okay, enough's enough. But have them have their special jersey out there. You know, Vancouver. But I say enough with this having to have and feeling this pressure to have a U.S. team. Put it between Toronto and Montreal. That's my pick. I'd even take Boston and Montreal. Okay, I'm fine with seeing Boston and see Marchand try to lick a player and get his tongue stuck to the player's cheek, like in Christmas story on the flagpole, whatever.
How great would that be? I'm down, man.
Richard Bergeron saying, "I double dog dare you."
You know,
real quick, I want to give a brief rundown of our fantasy league.
Oh yeah, please. Let's get that in.
So right now, sitting on top at 10-1 is Arash Merkazi. His team just seems to be the juggernaut of our league. You know, he's pretty hard to beat. He's got a good team. I maybe should have traded with him in the beginning of the season. He had recommended or sent a trade over me to trade Doughty for, I think it was Carey Price. which I probably should have done. Maybe I'll still do that. I don't know if he'll take it because Doughty's at minus 11. But sitting in second is Sean Gosser, our producer, who I just beat. Take that, Sean. He's probably going to edit this. I'm probably going to edit that out. But his team, Highway to Hellebuck. And by the way, I think, isn't this public? Everyone can go on there and they can look at the standings. Yeah, so it's the Dr. Hockey Podcast, Yahoo Sports.
Yeah, it's all available.
Yep. And Sean's been doing pretty well. He's a good team. And coming in third is me, the team Bag of Oranges. And I've had some turnover in my roster, but pretty stable. I just need a better goalie. So somebody trade me for a goalie. I need that. Let's see who else we have here. So after him is Shahab, and he's come right in behind me with his team, OV Showerwater.
That's that I didn't know he named his team that. That's the Emerson Eatem.
Exactly. Who he would rather drink his water rather than teach me how to skate, which I still don't understand why he'd want to do that, but okay.
All right, we can't ask those questions.
Right, exactly. And then you got Pronger, who actually I wouldn't mind getting Ben Bishop from him, but we'll see if he goes for it. But Sean Pronger's got his team there in fifth place. This is you, Heel with Steel, correct?
Yes, Heel with Steel is me.
Yeah, you're in sixth place, right behind Pronger, but you have a tied record with him. So, but you're really down in points compared to everybody else. We'll see what happens. And I don't know, Skating Stilettos, she's coming in right behind you at eighth place. We're losing record at 4-7. So I take that back. After Skating in Stilettos at seventh place, the remaining five teams are pretty much all losing records and at the basement. So it's not really much of a contest beyond that. Tyler. Okay. Capital Punishment, Nitty Gritty. By the way, they got to get rid of that gritty thing.
I can't stand gritty. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sure the Philadelphia fans have found some way to love that thing, but I have not.
It's not even a mother couldn't love that. No,
it is so. It's so awful. I don't know whose idea that was. I don't know who okayed it, but like, there's a reason the Flyers aren't doing well, and I suspect it's gritty.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And actually, I think the character looks like any Muppet if they were hit in the head with a Al Iafredi slap shot at in the forehead.
I think the thing looks like a combination of like an orange grimace with like dreadlocks, and then some of like the I don't know. He also has a little bit of like the Hamburglar's attitude. I don't know why the McDonald's characters, but I feel like he belongs at a burger joint.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I don't think they want him. I think they want to continue good business. I don't think they want gritty.
Gritty sucks. I'm sorry.
The second he goes over there, In-N-Out's going to have an outbreak of E. coli or something. I'm telling you, he's cursed. He's a cursed. Just take the outfit, take it to a big a trash heap, and burn the thing and be done with it.
I bet Claude Giroux doesn't hit 100 points again because of gritty.
Coming in last at 0-11. So we've had 11 weeks of the season so far. Not a single win, although he came close to beating me once, is Steele. if you look at his roster, players that are in starting positions on the IR, probably hasn't touched the lineup at all. Sidney Crosby's on the bench. He has some good players, but he doesn't play him. Jeff Skinner's on the bench. Blake Wheeler's on the bench.
He's got Crosby?
Listen to his roster. Kopitar, Marlowe, Zach Hyman, TJ Oshie, Tara Vanen, PK Subban, Jake Muzzin, Crosby, Skinner, Wheeler, and Adam Henrique. And his goalies are Dubnyk and Schneider. Now, Schneider's on the IR, but I don't know. I don't know how he hasn't won at all. I don't think he's changing his lineup. I think he gave up.
Well, Steele, you got to get on there, dude. Like, I mean, that's just awful.
Well, before he does that, I want to try and see if he'll trade. He'll just throw his hands up and give me a good trade.
Well, I'm going to try to trade him for Crosby.
You would, wouldn't you?
I would, because Crosby's got lots of points, and he's going to have more. There's more coming from that guy.
Please, okay, never mind. All right, I'll just gloss over that.
I know. It's Christmas time. You got to kind of let it slide for now. So, this is going to be up on Christmas. So, Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas, and enough with this happy holidays nonsense. It's Merry Christmas, and I don't even celebrate it. Merry Christmas.
That's right. You don't have.
I'm still on my soapbox. Yeah, no, I'm serious. Come on. Happy holidays. What does that mean?
I don't know. What it means is that there's a lot of other holidays that people celebrate, but
no, you know what? It's Christmas time. It's what it is.
Be afraid.
What?
There's no need to be afraid.
No need to be afraid. Just I say it to my patients. It's fine. I don't celebrate it. I'm fine with it. I don't get offended. If someone says Merry Christmas to me, I don't say, oh my God, that person's excluding me. My feelings are hurt.
Well, you're definitely included, but I did make an 80s song reference right there.
Yes. What was that? I missed it. I missed it. In my anger and tirade, I must have missed it.
The lyric was from Paul Young singing in the live.
Every time you go away?
No, it was the.
Oh, from Band-Aid?
Band-Aid, when he said, it's Christmas time, there's no need to be afraid. That one.
Yes. Okay. That actually, by the way, happens to be the best collection, or what would you call that? A group of musicians doing for a charity song?
Yeah.
Ever. I'm sorry. It's better than We Are the World. It's better than any of that. Band-Aid.
Yeah, it was crazy good.
Do they know it's Christmas? That's the best song, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that is definitely from the 80s.
Yeah.
Related to that, if anybody's interested, you can YouTube search probably the Sam Kinison solution to solving the food problem in Ethiopia, which was also from the 80s.
Yes, that was from Rodney Dangerfield's new comic, whatever it was. He had a thing that he had done. And that was – I remember watching at the time saying, my God, this guy's explosive. But one more thing also, best Christmas movie, Die Hard.
Die Hard. All right. I'm still going with Trading Places, but.
Well, yes. Okay. I'll put it this way. Okay. Yes. Trading Places. I'll probably take that over Die Hard. But Die Hard is a Christmas movie. It's my second favorite Christmas movie.
It is. It's a great Christmas movie. And anybody.
Followed by National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Hilarious.
When Cousin Eddie comes in and, you know, starts, you know, the shitter's full. I mean, come on. Dude, Merry Christmas.
Christmas Vacation was so funny. I think I broke my ribs laughing in the theater because I definitely saw it in the theater. It was too funny.
Yeah.
That is Chevy Chase, Randy Quaid. Who else was in that? That was
Juliet Lewis was in it. Beverly D'Angelo.
Beverly D'Angelo was the wife. Yeah. And then, wasn't one of the kids, what was it from? He was from 16 Candles, the son, Rusty.
No, Rusty in that movie. Okay, the original Rusty was Anthony Michael Hall.
Okay, that's right. He was the original one.
Right, and then the European Vacation, they had a different guy, but then Christmas Vacation was the guy who's on Big Bang Theory. Johnny Galecki played Rusty, and it's ironic because Johnny's a phenomenal actor, but the character's name is Rusty. He was supposed to kind of have like reddish, blondish hair, and he didn't have reddish, blondish hair. But I don't know why they get the name Rusty for him. But anyway, such a great, great movie. But yeah, I'm sorry. Die Hard, phenomenal.
Well, Trading Places is always worth a view. So.
Well, you know what's scary about that? I think some of the people that even work on our show weren't even alive when that movie was released.
No, of course not. Of course not. Not even close, dude. The guys that work on our show were born in the 90s.
Yeah, the movie came out in 83.
Listen, we're old. Trust me. My dad said he ran into somebody in Palm Springs who goes to my high school who's 15 years old. And the kid asked my dad, well, when did your son go to school there? He goes, well, he graduated in 1986. He's 50 years old. And the kid went, oh, my God, that's really old. Which it is. It's true. You know, God bless America. I made it to 50 years old. I'm so happy to be here that, you know, I'll take it. So anyway, that's the deal. Milburn High School. Yeah, because I grew up in Short Hills, New Jersey, and Short Hills is part of Milburn Township. So there's this, you know, Milburn school system, and it's a great school system, but it's all public schools. It's all, you know, it's all great. And
well, I'm going to give a shout out to my high school. Then if you did, I'm doing it for mine.
Do it.
Cranbrook. Kingswood High School. Actually, it was Cranbrook, which is a private school in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. And actually, if you go to the website, they have an art academy there. It's a beautiful campus, very similar to the one that was in the movie Dead Poets Society. They've had some phenomenal hockey teams at that high school too.
Public or private school?
Private school.
Oh,
private
nice.
School. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that's out here in California. You got to live in the right neighborhood to go to the public schools here. You know, it's tricky. A lot of them are great. A lot of them are great, but a lot of them are not so great. So you gotta pick carefully. And
anyway, we're going off here. We're going off the rails here.
No. But listen, though, I'm serious about this because you know this is the thing. Like my high school in New Jersey, we had a hockey team. Like we had hockey, we had golf. Like my school was like stacked with sports, and it was a public school. But there are plenty of public schools here in California that don't have any of those programs. They don't even have art programs.
I know, or music, and that's just such a shame.
It's bizarre. Like I can't even like fathom that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so you know, if you're educating your kids, we give you the permission to examine carefully at where you're taking them.
Anyway, on that note,
yeah. Well, Merry Christmas.
Then. Yeah, well, you have a Merry Christmas then too.
Anyway, so let's get back here though. Once I think we will fire back up. Once the games start back up, we'll be. I don't know what we'll do this Thursday. I guess we'll just have to kind of wait for some. Something to happen so that we can talk about it, and then we'll go from there.
Sure.
Well, yep. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Happy holidays.
It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish it.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.